Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Hi.
Hi. Nikita, can you talk to us a little bit about your journey?
Started training at a small school in New Jersey, and when I was 11, I began training at Valentina Kozlova's Dance Conservatory, and Valentina became my coach, and I worked with her for years. My junior year of high school, I went to Vaganova in Russia, and then I went back to Valentina and finished off my training with her. And straight out of high school, I joined Boston Ballet Second Company. And then following that, I spent a year in New York, kind of figuring out what was gonna be next and auditioning around pretty carefully, finding what would be the right fit for me. And I found a home at Cincinnati Ballet, and I actually signed my contract on March 12th of 2020. So like literally the weekend that the world shut down. Cincinnati was actually one of the first companies to start back to dancing and working to, you know, whatever extent that we could at the time with safety measures. Pretty early on, like October of 2020, it was really early on. So I was very lucky, very fortunate. And I've been there, this is my fourth season now.
Yeah, nice. How was your experience going from Vaganova to back to the US, kind of bouncing from here to there to here?
My whole background was Vaganova training. So that's what I understood the most. And stylistically, there are definitely some more extreme differences, but I think it's just such a solid base to have for kind of all techniques. But coming back to the US, you know, I think my first class at Boston Ballet was with Russell Kaiser, and it was completely on point. You know, I was seeing all these dancers put on their point shoes for bar, and I had barely ever done that, so I wasn't very familiar. You know, I understood some of the Balanchine technique because, you know, Valentina did dance, my coach growing up, she did dance at New York City Ballet. So I kind of had an understanding of the fast footwork, but you know, my training was very much, you have class on flat and then you have point class. So it was very separate. So I think understanding and being more open-minded to different styles came through coming back to the US, and especially once I started my professional career here and trying to understand, you know, like you need to be able to flip from, you know, keep that Russian training that you have, still be able to use that when you need it in the classics, but then being able to shift to something a little bit more generalized classical or something more Balanchine, just learning how to be very versatile. Cause I think that's, you know, especially with, we do so much contemporary work and, you know, the programs here, we can be jumping from like a couple seasons ago, we had a program we were doing, 9 Sinatra songs, we were doing minus 16, and then we were doing a more classical work. So it was just shifting from heels to dance sneakers to barefoot to point shoes, just all in one rep. So learning how to be comfortable with that.
Versatility, such a key here in the US for sure. Would you say that was an uphill challenge for you coming from a very classical Vaganova background, studying there for a bit? Was that an uphill challenge?
Really learning how to approach my auditions with care to not be so specifically stylized and to be a little bit more moldable to whatever that company's artistic vision might be. And I think, though, I did have a very solid background in contemporary training before. So I had definitely done the very classical and then the very contemporary, but kind of finding that in between and balancing work and all of that, those other things just came with experience and time and auditioning a little bit more. Because, you know, my first contract, I actually didn't get from class audition. I got it from a competition. So learning how to be in the audition room, and especially, I think I got my job via company class, learning how to take company class and approaching that in a way that doesn't make you seem like you stand out in a way that's stylistically not fitting to the company, but still like helps you stand out. It's such a difficult balance.
Yeah, and also knowing mm-hmm. about the companies beforehand. I recently did a live that spoke more to the process of auditioning, and you know, we spoke a lot about the importance of research and just knowing where you're headed beforehand, doing some mm-hmm. quick research even on YouTube, right, just to get an idea. But to your point, your background with Vaganova and building such a strong foundation no doubt helps to set the stage for you to pick up these Definitely. Other styles. Talk to us a bit about your relationship with dance, you know, from pre-professional years. You've done quite a lot. You've been to quite many different places. I am so curious to hear about how you've been able to stay motivated through all of this work.
I love what I do, like, so much. I am very, very passionate about my work. And I was that kid at 3 years old, 5 years old, who was telling everybody, oh, I want to be a ballerina. And I kind of just full steam ahead, stuck with that. And I'd say, like, you know, I think that there have definitely been times where there have been hurdles and obstacles along the way, but I think that my love for what I do and my passion for performing and being on stage and, you know, the admiration I have for the classics and the contemporary work and just movement in general is so therapeutic for me. I think that I would be a bit lost without it. And that has carried me through kind of any phase. I just have to remind myself how much I love what I do. And I don't think that there's ever been a moment that I've fallen out of love with mm-hmm. dance.
Really incredible and beautiful. I love hearing that. I am curious to hear about your take on support mm-hmm. and if you feel that having a strong support system, whether it be from your dance educators, from your family, friends, whoever it might have been, that could have also played a role in that.
I grew up in a very artistic family. My mom is a former dancer, currently a yoga teacher and a painter. My dad is a musician. My sister is a singer and an actress, and my extended family is all in the arts as well. So I think that my love for what I, you know, my mom put me into classes when I was young, but I think that it was never like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. It was, I had so much love for it and they supported that. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, my family has been the most incredible support system throughout every single step of my journey. And I've also found some incredible teachers and mentors and friends along the way that have just, I think that they've been a saving grace for me throughout every step of my journey. And I think that seeking support, you know, either if your family doesn't, I think I have a very specific case where my family was so 110% there for me. I think that if that's not something that you have, you know, seeking support from friends and finding teachers and mentors might be helpful.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I completely share in that testament in the sense of having that family support can make such a big difference. And for dancers who feel that that might not be the case for them, seeking support in other ways from your educators, from mentors, you know, with many of the dancers that I work with from a nutritional standpoint, I'm often working alongside a dance mental health therapist and so forth. So really like building a team of cheerleaders, right, that are helping you through this not so easy journey. And actually on that note, so obviously most of the work that I'm doing with dancers is really focused on helping them to build a supportive meal plan that's going to get them through their dance day, but also allow them to experience a lot of ease at meal times and at snack times. Have you, or how have you been able to keep somewhat of a supportive relationship with food throughout your professional years, your more recent professional years, as you've come to realize that, you know, the food that you're putting in your body is obviously giving you the energy that you need to get through your dancing?
Yeah. I think that, you know, the more that I've, in these years as a professional dancer, you know, obviously it's a journey to figure out what works for you, because I think that everybody has to find the right, but learning, I've really started to think about the way that I take in food as that I'm fueling my tool. Like, my body is my tool and I need to treat it as such. You know, I needed to take care of it like it's my baby, because that's my body is what I'm using every single day, and it needs to be nourished. I need energy. I need to have power and strength. And I've tried to figure out, you know, we have definitely long days at the company. We have class 9 to 10:30 every morning, then we have 3 hours of rehearsal, then we have a lunch break for about an hour around 1:45, and then another 3 hours after that. So that can be that can be up to 7.5 hours of dancing. And you know, if you're not fueling yourself properly, you're never going to have the energy to get through all of those hours. You know, you can get shaky, and you just never want, and you never want to feel that way, like your body is not allowing you to do what you want to be putting out there.
No, absolutely. Building a supportive meal plan is one part of the puzzle. Also understanding the reason why and the intention why, knowing that you have up to a 7.5 hour dance day that is going to need energy and is going to need fuel is a huge part of it. Also understanding that you're not only having this day today, but you're also going to be having this day tomorrow and the next day. And just as you put it, we're providing our body with the little tools it needs, all of those different nutrients it needs, so that it can set forth what you're asking it to do. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to feel most limited on stage, right? You're putting all of this effort into your training. This is what I usually talk about with the dancers I work with. We're putting all of this effort into our training. Let's not sacrifice a bone-related injury if we're not fueling sufficiently.
Yes.
You know? Yes. You know? So maintaining that balance is so incredibly important.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, having the trying to figure out a times of day to fit everything in. You know, I make sure that in the morning I have usually like some oatmeal or something that has, but I'll put protein powder or something in it, because I know that, you know, I'm not a big fan of savory in the morning. So I always crave something sweet when I wake up. So I'll make some kind of oatmeal, but I'll make sure that I put something that will, I'll put some other things besides just the oats in there, because I don't want to get to bar and already feel hungry, you know, and I want to be able to get through my rehearsal day. And I think that I try and figure out what I can have, just balance it out well to make sure that I have something during my lunch that will get me through my 3 hour rehearsal period after that. And you know, a solid dinner that will get me through to my next morning. You know, I try and always think about it as fueling and taking care of myself for the amount of energy that I have to exert that's coming up momentarily.
Yeah, getting in multiple components, right? Because that's what's going to give us the balance. That's what's going to keep us feeling full, keep us feeling energized, focusing on variety and abundance. Those are really some of the most important aspects when I'm working with dancers. Now, given your love and your passion for dance, which is obviously so understandable for most of the dancers that I'm working with and I'm chatting with, how do you keep balance in your life? Do you have other hobbies or anything that you've picked up along the way that helps you to just maintain the balance that you've built for dancing?
I actually have developed a love for yoga. My mom, I mentioned she's a yoga teacher, but I am hoping, you know, eventually when I get enough time to set aside to actually get my certification and be able to teach. But I find, you know, even just, you know, sometimes I, on a day off or maybe when I've had a less busy day, I can go take a hot yoga class or something, or even just a non-heated class to get a flow in. But because the movement I find is really medicinal, but even if it's just like a yin class, which is more meditative, just simple poses, stretches, I just find it to be so centering for me. And it takes me, you know, ballet is definitely it's a bit of a stressful job. And especially when, you know, you care so much about what you do, you can easily become so attached to the day-to-day ups and downs of life in a company. And I think that finding some outside balance, and, you know, I have some non-dance friends, I have other things that I can focus my energy towards, so that, you know, obviously I think there's still a component in my brain that will still be like with that, but I think my time away from that helps me find a little bit of balance in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all encompassing, you know, our work in the studio and our work outside the studio, so that we can bring those experiences to the stage, bring them into the characters that we portray and so forth. So my final question for you is one that I ask everybody. It's a loaded question, so do your best with it. I'm sure you will. How would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer? Because in my work with dancers, we're constantly redefining what it means to be healthy. Very often in our culture, healthy is seen through a very dichotomous lens. You either fit this mold or you don't fit this mold, right? And we really try to break these barriers. Yeah. So I'm curious how you would redefine what it means to be the healthy dancer.
I think that when you say healthy dancer, I think that it really encompasses all aspects of our health, you know, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health. And I think that first with the physical, I think we're our healthiest when we are fueling ourselves in a way that helps us to feel in the studio as if we had on the stage, that we have energy and we are able to get through our day and produce physically what we want to be putting out there. And, you know, able to find that strength where you feel strong enough to get through jumps every day. You feel energized enough throughout your 6 hours, you know, obviously you will get tired, but energized enough to get through your 6 hours, 7.5 if you include class day, with motivation and not feeling that dying start to happen inside your, you know, energy. And I think that when we're feeling really just our best in terms of that and feeling strong, but mentally and emotionally can have a huge impact too, because, you know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, even if your body is working at that top way you want it to be working, if your mental and emotional health isn't so great, then, you know, I think that the balance starts to outweigh and that can take away from that. So I think that when we are you know, finding, using that support system that we have, you know, whether that be family, friends, mentors, professionals, just to talk about and find coping mechanisms for the mental and emotional struggles that dance has, because that's definitely very prominent in what we do. So when that is supported and you feel like you have a place and an outlet to discuss those things and analyze those things and find out, okay, I'm dealing with this today, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, some kind of, whether it be self-image or whatever it may be, you mm-hmm. can tune into that and find your way of coping. And if you're in tune with that, and if you're in tune with your body and feeling yourself, I think that balance is what I would define as the healthy dancer.
Yeah, I love that. It's very insightful. Again, you know, comes back to, if dancers are struggling to get there, reaching out for support, having yeah. supportive mentors, working with a dietitian, working with a mental health therapist, yeah. you know, knowing that there are resources, I should say, out there that can help you to redefine the healthy dancer in your own unique way, right? Because I believe yeah. you started off this entire conversation by saying that all of us are so different mm-hmm. and what fuels our passion and our motivation for dance can be so unique. So everyone just really building their own journey. Thank you so much yes. for joining me tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to connect, and we will be in touch.